He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning. I've learned a lot more about this process in the last 3 days than I knew or had talked about it in the last 40 years that I've coached in this league. I had no knowledge of the various steps involved in the game balls and the process that went through, that happened between when they were prepared and went to the officials and went to the game. So I've learned a lot about that. I've told you everything I know.
He told us everything he knows. Oh, yeah, Bill Belichick, one of the most experienced coaches in the NFL, and he's asking the nation and the world to believe him when he says he had no idea about Deflategate. Not only that, he has no idea about how to deflate footballs. I mean, for a guy who micromanages that team in a way that many find very admirable, for him to profess ignorance on this one is quite astounding, really. The scandal in which the Patriots are accused of intentionally deflating footballs in their big game against the Colts last week, that big playoff game, is now roiling the league. I think that it's fair to say that, although I believe there's no chance the league would do anything as drastic as making the Pats forfeit that victory and giving the Colts a ride into the Super Bowl. After all, they did get trounced by the Patriots. It is certainly unsettling the NFL, and I think that it's fair to say, even though the issues are wildly different in terms of the profound nature of one is a crime against humanity, the other is sneaking and cheating, I think the scandal is just as big, maybe because of timing, as the Ray Rice domestic abuse controversy when he knocked out his then fiance in the elevator in the casino in Atlantic City. Like I said, domestic abuse far more serious. But listen, if the Pats are caught cheating, there is going to be some serious consequences to pay. Not only did Belichick claim that he knows nothing about deflating footballs, and remember this, folks, remember from Watergate on, it is the cover-up. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. If Belichick is lying when he says he knows nothing about how you deflate footballs and all the rest of it, then he's in real trouble. And even worse than that, that he has left himself absolutely no wiggle room if someone comes up with the facts that, of course, he knew what the hell was going on with footballs. Belichick also threw his all-star golden boy quarterback, Tom Brady, under the bus. Belichick saying that while Belichick knows nothing about deflating footballs, Tom Brady certainly knows everything about deflating footballs, the footballs that Brady throws with such precision. Here's Belichick.
Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about much better detail, information than I could possibly provide.
All right, that's Belichick saying that Tom Brady knows. Here's James in Long Island, our first call, 866-Geraldo. What up, James?
Good morning, Geraldo. I just want to point out three examples of cheating. You have President Obama singling out an ex-Democratic staffer at the State of the Union for a success story. You have Belichick cheating in football. You have Sheldon being arrested upstate.
Sheldon Silver, the assembly speaker, in jail as we speak. I'll get
right
to that one.
They just think they can do whatever they want and get away with it. Belichick's going to pass his speech off to Sheldon speaker. He's going to say, I knew nothing about it. It's the same old routine time and time again. They get caught. They know nothing about it. But they do. That's what they do. They cheat the people.
All right, James, I get it. Let's go to Guns. Guns knows. Guns, our sports maven here at 77 WABC. Guns, how big a deal is this?
I think it's a huge deal. I mean, this is all everyone's been talking about the last couple of days, but especially with Super Bowl Media Week, you know, the whole frenzy that's going to be happening all next week, this is all anyone's going to be talking about. Now, to get to exactly what Belichick said and did, am I surprised that he didn't step down voluntarily or that the NFL was going to suspend him for the Super Bowl? No, because there's way too much money involved. Plus, you can't prove the intent. So what Belichick did, and this is you talk about drama here. He threw his golden boy, his golden pony boy, the star himself, his own, the guy that got him there multiple times. You can't even write this better. Tom Brady got thrown under the bus by Bill Belichick. And
so now Brady's under the bus. Now Brady would, it would seem to me, Guns, that Brady now must address this publicly, that he cannot, I heard him laughing it off on a local Boston station on Monday. He can't laugh this off, buddy.
Oh, absolutely not. Brady is screwed because here's the thing. You are a quarterback. This is what you live. You've spent your whole life on holding footballs, literally. You know the smallest minute detail on this. And there's no way that in the AFC Championship game, last Sunday's game, you win, you go to the Super Bowl. What you want to do, what you work to do, there's no way that you were going to sacrifice that with a ball, 11 out of 12 balls that were not proper.
All right, guys, stand by. I would just want, everybody knows, you know what a ball feels like when it's slightly deflated. It's a little mushier, easier to catch. In the NFL, the reason they pump those balls up so tight is they want it to be hard on those pro receivers. You know, that ball comes, it's a rock. That thing is coming, it's a rocket, and it's a rock, and you've got to catch it. It takes great skill. If it's mushy and you've got those big, adhesive gloves on anyway, it's a lot easier to catch. Now, I'm not saying that the Patriots only beat the Colts last week because of soft, mushy footballs, but, they trounced them. But it is a big deal. Stand by, guys. Let me take a couple of calls. Here's Danielle's calling 866-RALDO, 866-437-2536. Hi, Danielle. What are you thinking about today?
Good morning. First of all, I cannot believe that the coach is throwing Brady under the bus like this. But also,
Wait, don't you love that guy? I mean, tell you the truth. I mean, isn't he a gorgeous guy with a beautiful, drop-dead gorgeous wife and everybody, they're the envy of the world, Giselle Bunching and
Tom Brady.
I love Eli Manning.
I love Eli Manning.
Eli Manning's a good guy. He's a little
goofy. He's not a handsome guy.
Yeah. He's not a handsome
guy. He beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl, so.
All right, Danielle. So how are you feeling? You feeling heartbroken? What are you feeling? You feeling angry? What are you feeling?
Well, I don't like the New England team, but didn't Belichick do something pretty nasty to the Jets regarding he was supposed to coach them and then he backed out at the last minute or something? I don't trust this Belichick guy. He's not, like, he doesn't play fair in any aspect.
He doesn't. Noam, do you know anything about what Brady's response is going to be?
Well, he has a press conference set for this afternoon at 4:00. So it's going to have to be the first thing he answers. It's going to be awfully interesting.
Guns, now when you're talking about Media Week, I mean, this is like, I just did the press thing out here in L.A. on Celebrity Apprentice last week. That was pretty big. But the Super Bowl week, as I recall, they fill a huge auditorium with reporters from all over the world.
Right. I mean, nothing to take away from your Celebrity Apprentice thing, but this is a tad bit bigger, if you would. I mean,
come on, you think?
This is the Super Bowl, the biggest event in the globe. And now you have the coach flat out denying it. And this does not look good for Brady. And the thing is, if they can prove that this has happened in the past, which clearly they're starting to do, I think Brady is the one that this is his tarnished legacy right now because he's a cheat. And his laughing and the way he tried the demeanor that he had earlier in the week, trying to just push it to the side, like you said, it's in the cover up. Now, here's the thing. The big question is, who did this? Because the balls were definitely the right weight before the game. We know that for a fact because the referees, checked them. Now, who did this? Why did they do this?
Oh, hold it, Guns.
And
you're saying that. You're saying that the ref checked it and then they deflated it?
Yes.
I mean, I didn't know it was that blatant.
Oh, yes. I think that's almost a guarantee right there that the refs check the balls as they do 2.5 hours before the game and then they're put on the sidelines.
Whoa.
And then from then to the second quarter when it was first reported that a complaint by the cornerback for the Colts, he's like, yo, the football field's a little light. That's when the refs looked into it and found that he was actually right. So
is amazing. I remember the Pine Tar, George Brett. How that was really a big deal, but this is huge.
Yeah.
This is tens of millions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen. Just think about it. Why would I lead with this lame story? I'm leading with it because the Super Bowl is the biggest event of Super Bowl weekend for sure. It is huge. People look forward to it all year round. If this affects, even if it only affects the head of some of these players. And there's huge fines, and draft picks are affected, whatever it is, if somebody gets suspended. I mean, this is a big business story. This is a sociological story. This is every kid out there who, follows football or sports. Now they hear, they've heard about steroids, they've heard about Lance Armstrong, they've heard about all the Barry Bonds, and this one cheats, and this is how they cheat, and Alex Rodriguez and Ray Rice knocks his wife out, and now if they cheat in the Super Bowl, and if it's Tom Brady, the golden boy of all time, the man that everybody wants to, that envies him and that drop-dead gorgeous wife of his, I mean, this is really a big deal.
Plus,
I tell you what, guys, everybody put it on pause. I want to hear from you folks, 866-437-2530. 866 Geraldo. We're going to deal with this, and then obviously Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker. Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker, is in federal prison right now. People are saying it's about time. I mean, I would have thought that Sheldon Silver deflated the damn football. So we're going to talk about the Assembly Speaker in federal prison this morning, and this fire in Edgewater, right in my hood, right down the block from my house in Edgewater, lit up the night sky.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Welcome back, everybody. I just want to send out my condolences to my neighbors in Edgewater over the fire, that Avalon apartment complex fire that took almost 200 homes, including the home of the Yankee announcer John Sterling. It is made a mess of the streets in Edgewater. They're cordoning off various streets, River Road, very restricted. They're severely limiting traffic. They closed the schools nearby, so it's really been quite the mess there. It is a huge mess in the National Football League, where the tens of millions of dollars involved in the Super Bowl. Now, everybody, even CNBC, the business channels, Fox Business, they're covering this story. It is a huge business story. It seems like a small deal. But if they really are caught cheating, and worse than being caught cheating, if they're caught lying about cheating, this is a very, very big story. Guns is with us. Noam is with me, as always. We're asking, what do you think about this? How big a deal do you believe it is? 866 Geraldo, let's start with Joe in Westchester. What's up, Joe? What are you thinking about? Hello, Joe. Punch him in there, Crash.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you, buddy. What's up?
I just think you guys are being very, very unfair.
How so?
This is the biggest rush to judgment since Ferguson. Belichick told you the truth. He told you the truth today. He said he has no idea.
Wait a second. Do you think that Bill Belichick missed the detail, has no idea how you deflate footballs
Absolutely.
Or what the process
Absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely. The
you
guy,
really believe that?
So your assumption is he's lying.
My assumption is that he is... My assumption is he's trying to put the burden on some little equipment ball boy who's going to get hung.
You're assuming he's lying. You have to admit at least that you're assuming he's lying.
All right, well, you got me there, Joe.
And at the end of the day, I think he's acting completely right. In 40 years, he's got far bigger worries than the balls. Then we'll have to find out. But this is the biggest rush to judgment since Ferguson. The media has made I appreciate it's horrifically difficult. But at the end of the day, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Would you have said what he said about Tom Brady, your star quarterback, colleague?
I'm very hopeful.
One of the greatest partnerships in the history of Pro Bowl?
You guys have interpreted that as throwing Tom under the bus. I fully expect that when Tom Brady takes the podium, as he'll have to do next week, he'll explain himself.
I think he's going to do it later today, right? No.
Yeah, 4 o'clock this afternoon.
So we'll see. But Joe, I like your attitude. I think you're a fine commentator listener. Guns, comment on what Joe said.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I despise Bill Belichick. All Jets and Giants fans do. I think anybody in NFL, anybody from any other team, I hate Bill Belichick. And as much as I want this to be true, after seeing him up there and the explanation, I believe him. And I do not want to believe him. I think that he doesn't know. I think that it's Tom Brady and that he's been doing this, and it seems to be going on for quite some time now, because as I mentioned, there's no way he was going to use a ball that he wasn't familiar with or a weight that he wasn't going to be familiar with in one of the biggest games of his life, meaning he had to have done it in the past to become familiar with it, all right? But the other big
thing... Wait, Guns, be clear here. So you're suggesting, Guns, our own sports maven here at 77 WABC, you're agreeing with the previous caller that Belichick is a credible person when he denies any knowledge of how balls are inflated and all the rest.
No, Belichick is a proven cheat in the past, and you know which has shown that he, you know, which gives him a pattern.
Well,
it
just seemed like you let him skate.
I agree with him on this one instance, and as much as I don't want to,
be clear. Tell me why.
Because I think that it shows a lack of leadership here for him, because he should have known every aspect of the team. But when it comes to something like this, I really don't think that he knew, especially since they were weighted before the game. The referees tested them and they were good. So something went on during the first half and has been going on because there's
reports
of
it. And you think something went on. Hold it, Guns. You think that something went on and the coach didn't know, not only specifically, but even generally about what it was.
Believe me, Gerardo, I hate Bill Belichick, but
I'm not interested in how you feel about Belichick. I don't hate him.
I don't hate him.
I sort of like the Pats. I mean, our teams are so cruddy that you know, you have to admire competence.
I think he should have known, but I don't think that he knows here, and it is on Tom Brady, and you can be sure Tom Brady is speaking to the best handlers he can right now to figure out how he's going to spin his answers later today.
All right, I'm going to talk about this all morning long. I appreciate your calls. We got Sheldon Silver, the assembly speaker in federal prison. I guess the reason that's not bigger news is that people he's not in prison already? You know, he's got the most scandal-scarred career over 2 decades. And then, of course, I'll talk more about the fire as we learn anything. Thank God nobody was hurt as far as I know. But your calls, Governor David Patterson will be joining us at the bottom.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too.
Sam Cooke, it's his birthday. A man, oh man, how appropriate. Born by the river. I live on the river. My nephew, Forrest. Forrest, give me a call. I want to know what you saw. Flames clearly visible from my dock. Smoke still hangs heavy. All of Edgewater disrupted by this. School kids, no classes today. Very big deal. Noam now reporting that as many as 1,000 people have been affected by this, have been rendered homeless by this. So our sincere condolences to our friends and neighbors there in Edgewater. We'll find out more about what went down. So get Forrest, get my nephew on the phone. I want to talk to him. Right now, I want to talk to another dear friend of ours, the former governor of the great state of New York, David Patterson, joins us. Governor, how are you doing? What was your first reaction when Sheldon Silver, when it was announced that the assembly speaker in your party, and you head the party now in the state, that he was in federal jail waiting to see the magistrate at 1 o'clock this afternoon, probably to hear the charges against him and have bail set? What's your reaction, Governor Patterson?
Well, good morning, Geraldo. When I first heard the story, I didn't understand it because a person who fails to report any type of
income
that they receive, that could be kind of ministerial. So I just didn't understand how that could manifest itself into a criminal complaint. But now that while I was waiting to talk to you, they kind of reported on the news exactly what they're saying. What they're saying is that they are accusing him of using his position to perhaps enhance the portfolio of this law firm. So just so the listeners understand it, maybe a lobbyist, somebody comes to you and says, listen, I need you to do something for me, and you say, well, who's your lobbyist? Well, I don't have a lobbyist. Well, I suggest you take this lobbyist. Well, that would be what they're basically accusing him of. Now,
but isn't it also earning money and not, you know, doing any work to earn the money, just earning the money to have the influence
law firm? People earn money all the time and don't do any work. They refer business to other law firms.
But he's the assembly speaker.
Hold it.
Let me ask you a larger question, a bigger question.
Well, wait,
make the point,
sure,
but I got to ask you some specifics.
I'm saying that in the legal profession, people refer business all the time. And theoretically, as a speaker, you could do that as well. What they're accusing him of is referring business that's going to come before him, almost like a judge who would pick the lawyers who's going to be in the case. That's what they're accusing him of. Now, he's been there 38 years, has served with distinction. There's plenty of reason to think he didn't do it. But Preet Bharara has been a very successful United States attorney and prosecutor who seems to know when to bring charges and when not to. So this is something, you know, we'll have to wait and see how it goes.
All right, this is my question. This is, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. Governor David Paterson is my esteemed guest, and I love having him on the program. I love having him on my life. He's a good guy, a good man. You have the whole Moreland Commission, big picture here, Governor Paterson, and you know it. Governor Andrew Cuomo, your successor, established the Moreland Commission to root out corruption in Albany, and you know the rap. As soon as the probers in the Moreland Commission got close to friends of Governor Andrew Cuomo, he shut down the Moreland Commission. That's when Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney in Manhattan, took up the mantle, and that's why Sheldon Silver went down. Preet Bharara says, hey, wait a second, you started to find corruption, you shut down the state probe. I'll probe it. I'll find out what's going on. And he, the first one to fall, is the Speaker of the Assembly, the head Democrat New York State Assembly. Doesn't that indicate to you, Governor David Paterson, that Sheldon Silver's arrest is the first of what could be a very big deal in the New York State Legislature?
Geraldo, I'm going to tell you. The reason I like coming on your show and specifically being interviewed by you is I could be on 100 shows this morning and no one would have asked me that question. That is really the key question at hand here. Now, the U.S. attorney could have investigated this themselves, and the U.S. attorney has indicted plenty of people long before the Moreland Commission report. But there is a mention in the New York Times about the commission being shut down and then the U.S. attorney stepping in. If the U.S. attorney just happened to be looking into this anyway, then that's one thing. But if this is related to the shutting down of the Moreland Commission report, it's going to be a different story. When I read that in the Times myself, I didn't know why it was mentioned. In other words, just because two things happen, it doesn't mean that they're connected. And that's something we'll find out down the road.
Except, there's smoke in the sky over Edgewater. That doesn't mean it's connected to the fire in Edgewater. Except, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that's what that analogy, however crude it may be, is what's at work here, Governor Paterson.
Yeah, and our sympathy for the people in Edgewater. I actually didn't know about that situation until you just mentioned it. I'm still in Albany. Boy, do I want to get out of here as fast as possible.
Yeah, there's plenty of smoke there.
But anyway, what I'd say about that is they, and I don't blame journalists for doing it. They put the two things in the same article. They did not indicate what evidence they had that it had anything to do to him investigating, because he was investigating people all along.
But you have a situation. Hold it, Governor. You have a situation here where, remember, one of the things that is alleged around the Moreland Commission cancellation was that there were real estate tax assessments and people seeking reduction in their assessments and using lobbyists to get them, big real estate developers, to get their real estate tax reduced, get their assessments reduced. That's one of the main allegations, or we think allegations of corruption that is coming down. All of this influence peddling, I think, is part of a part. I think that it is fair to assume that Preet Bharara is all over this.
I grant that. And so now that you've taken a shot at the elected officials, I want to take a shot at the media and see if you grant that.
Okay.
Who was the outlet that broke the Moreland Commission story? The New York Times.
Right.
So wouldn't it be just understandable that the New York Times will put the two of them in the same article because they broke the story.
So you think they want to fulfill their own prophecy? I get it. They want to fulfill their own prophecy.
Exactly. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that they didn't put in the story any evidence that that's actually true. They just put the two there like throwing up a beach ball and letting the wind take it wherever it does.
Okay, Mary or Melissa, please call the New York Times. Let's try and get that reporter on to answer Governor Patterson's very reasonable, query here about, smoke and fire. Governor Patterson, it is always a delight, an honorable man you are.
Oh, thank you. And listen, tell the reporter, I'm not saying he's wrong, but even he would have to admit they just put the two things in the story. They don't connect them.
Okay. Well, I am sure that the arrest of Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker, is the beginning of something. How far it goes, how deep it goes into the soul of Albany, maybe Fred Dicker of the New York Post can tell us. He's joining us at the top of the hour. Governor, thank you. I'm still, ladies and gentlemen, interested in your calls about, whatever it is that's moving you today, and I appreciate that the phones are ringing off the hook. We got so much going on, the Edgewater fire, the fire in Albany, and, of course, the fire up in Patriot Stadium there in the Boston area as the Super Bowl looms. And they've got something on their hands in the NFL that, oh, man, they had absolutely no appetite for. It's not as big as Aaron Hernandez committing allegedly double homicide or Ray Rice knocking out his fiance, but it's a big deal.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it, Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning. I would say I've learned a lot more about this process in the last 3 days than I knew or had talked about it in the last 40 years that I've coached in this league. I had no knowledge of the various steps involved in the game balls and the process that went through, that happened between when they were prepared and went to the officials and went to the game. So I've learned a lot about that.
All right, Bill Belichick, the Patriots coach, he knew nothing, he says. He knew nothing in 40 years. He didn't know how you inflate the football. Hey, maybe he's telling the truth. And we had some callers here that that suggest that, Geraldo, I better rein in my my horses here and don't let wishful thinking get ahead of the facts and the story, that maybe Bill Belichick's absolutely telling the truth. Although you must admit he left himself absolutely no wiggle room there, Noam.
Yeah, he did.
He has said that he knew nothing, and if someone proves that, hey, wait a second, Bill Belichick went to ball inflation school 15 years ago, I think he's in trouble.
You know, with Tom Brady, though, it's a whole different story because, you know, it's the tools of the trade, right? You know, I can tell when someone's fussed with my microphone just a tiny little bit because that's my job. I talk on one every single day. So there's no way Tom Brady did not know when he was given the ball, when he was throwing the ball, that something was different about it. So he has to know something. There's no way he doesn't.
So what do you do? That's the issue. Somebody who's in charge of damage control should give us a call. If you were Tom Brady, what should you do at 4 o'clock when he addresses the world about these allegations? Remember that these allegations come from a team, the New England Patriots, who were famously caught cheating in terms of snooping on other teams, using directional microphones to pick up chatter between coaches and so forth. A lot of people steal signs in all different kinds of sport, but it was a violation. They got busted. It's not Aaron Hernandez and murder. It's not Ray Rice and domestic abuse. But with tens of millions of dollars on the line in the football game of the year, one of the great events of the year, the Super Bowl coming up, this is a big deal. We have a lot of big deals to talk about today. Don't go away.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Busy news day, busy news morning, 6 minutes after 11 o'clock. Smoke still lingers over Edgewater, New Jersey, my hometown, where a devastating fire affecting as many as 1,000 people. We'll talk to my colleague at Fox News, Harris Faulkner. She lives right next door to the affected Avalon Complex. We're also monitoring the National Football League and this huge Super Bowl affecting scandal about these deflated balls. But the big news is he's been the Assembly Speaker for a generation, and now it is about real estate, according to the complaint. Now the complaint has been leaked. Listen to this quote. To induce, so he took these these millions of dollars. Silver devised the scheme, allegedly. The Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, devised the scheme, and this is answering Governor David Patterson's request for the link between the Moreland Commission cancellation and why Silver was arrested now. The complaint says, the criminal complaint against the Assembly Speaker says, quote, that he devised this scheme, quote, to induce real estate developers with business before the state to use a real estate law firm controlled by a lawyer who once worked as Mr. Silver's counsel, and that lawyer allegedly orchestrated payments to the speaker for referrals to the law firm. So if you have a law firm doing business with these real estate developers and you want a sweetheart deal in Albany, then Sheldon Silver's guy's the guy to use, and allegedly he took up to $4 million, and this is just this one scam. Fred Dicker knows all about this. Fred Dicker, the ace of the New York Post, the man who knows Albany better than I know the palm of my hand. Fred, welcome aboard. How big a deal is this?
It's huge. It's a bombshell, Geraldo. I'm at the Capitol right now. I'm right outside the Assembly Chamber where Speaker Silver would normally be presiding. Obviously, he's not here. That's all anybody is talking about. This is very big. Silver is a key player in the entire state government. And the fact that word of this indictment from the U.S. Attorney's Office leaked out just hours after Governor Cuomo had delivered his State of the State and budget address here in Albany, I don't think is a coincidence. Keep in mind that it was the governor shutting down the Moreland Act Commission that he appointed to look into things like what Speaker Silver is alleged to have done that triggered the U.S. Attorney's probe, and it may not be over yet.
Prosecutors are saying, and I'm reading the New York Times account, they've already seized, they have seized $3.8 million of Mr. Silver's money. So this dude has $3.8 million in cash laying around. This seems to me to be a major earthquake that might finally shake the rafters in that corrupt capital where you ply those waters so well, Fred Dicker.
Well, we've had a few others. I mentioned the name of Elliot Spitzer for one. But you're right. It's huge. The Assembly Democrats.
Nobody went to jail with Spitzer. That's a hooker. This is big.
Now, this is gigantic. This goes to the heart of what's been alleged against many of the political figures here. The Senate Republican leader, Dean Skelos, also has some kind of a deal worked out with a law firm paying him a few hundred thousand dollars a year. Is that legit or is it not? Part of the charge, I'm sure you know, against Speaker Silver now is that in working for another big law firm, Weitz and Luxembourg, one of the biggest in the country when it comes to kind of slip and fall lawsuits, that Speaker Silver got millions of dollars from them for doing no work but taking care of the law firm's political needs or legislative needs. So there may be other lawmakers who are going to be targeted in this. Keep in mind, Governor Cuomo has yet to say anything about this, and it was the governor shutting down, as I noted, that Moreland Commission that triggered all this investigation.
It probably wouldn't make any difference in New York State. The Democrats have the stranglehold on the election process, but it just seems to me, and I have said this, and people accuse me of picking on Andrew Cuomo. This has to affect him. When he canceled that Moreland Commission, Fred Dicker of the New York Post, it seemed to me such an egregious and obvious act of manipulation of the process.
No question.
They got close to the people that were close to the governor. He shuts them down. Just tell me, I mean, isn't it logical to assume, in the same way that a deflated football, you have to assume that the coach knows that the football is deflated, doesn't Coach Andrew Cuomo know that the football is deflated in Albany, Fred Dicker?
Absolutely. He knows everything. Plus, keep in mind, Geraldo, that Cuomo and his people, by several press accounts, are under investigation, not for just shutting down the Moreland Commission, but after it was shut down, it's alleged that he and his people, or his people, tried to pressure witnesses who Preet Bharara was trying to interview about the Moreland Commission not to testify to what actually happened. Now, if in fact anything like that happened, and it's been alleged that it did, who knows what Preet Bharara's next actions might be.
So you agree, Fred Dicker, the ace of the New York Post, my colleague in the big building at 1211 Avenue of the Americas when he's downstate, you believe that Sheldon Silver is the beginning of something, Fred?
Absolutely, and I don't say that just because you gave me that flattering little profile there, Geraldo. Thank you for that.
All right, but I'll see you in the building, buddy.
Look forward to it.
Let's watch this process with great interest, Fred Dicker of the New York Post. I'm telling you, Noam Layden, you know, you can be a state legislator. You could even be the assembly speaker, and you could hold an outside job and get paid for it. But the only requirement is that it be a legit job, and you don't get the job because you say, if you hire me for this job, I'm going to make sure that the legislation goes your way or that the regulatory body does whatever you want it to do. I mean, there's all kinds of laws against that. But I'm telling you, this is something, you know, God bless him, Mario Cuomo. In a way, I'm glad he's not here to hear these sordid allegations swirling around his son in the governor's mansion in Albany. God forgive me for saying that, but I'm telling you, this is a huge deal. That capital of ours has been corrupt for decades. Now, finally, you have a federal official now who has hit Sheldon Silver, and there's only a 5-count indictment. Believe me, brother, when they got 5 to start, there's more. They're holding more cards. I'm telling you, no.
You know, and it just fuels this distrust that's been ongoing for so many years, whether it be Albany, whether it be Trenton, whether it be Hudson County in New Jersey. People just assume. I mean, I think, you know, you're talking about how people are shocked, but we've been talking about Shelly Silver For years,
forever.
Yeah. So,
but
I don't
remember Joe Bruno went down, state Senate leader, a Republican. He went down very heavy, but I think that he beat it ultimately. He got out on some kind of appeal. I forget exactly what his. I got to look it up. I got to Google that Joe Bruno, how he finally beat that charge. But I mean, he was the head of the state Senate. Sheldon Silver, the head of the state assembly. That's the two bodies of the legislature in Albany. Now you have the governor riding his white horse in, this noble, intelligent, former federal official, presidential aspirant, a golden boy in many ways, Andrew Cuomo. Now it seems as if he's into the same muck and disgusting corruption as all the old pals from the old Tammany Hall days. It really is sickening. And what you mentioned, about Hudson County, et cetera, in Jersey and all the rest of it, you know, you have one of those days here when you're talking about whether it's deflating a football or, you know, doing work, getting paid for doing no work or making a sweetheart deal or allowing buildings to rise that should not have been given the green light for your own personal aggrandizement. It just gives you a sense of self-interest that is really, in many ways, very, very sickening and disappointing. I'm telling you, Noam. I don't want to sound Pollyannish about it, but you just want people to do their damn jobs, get paid what they are supposed to get paid for doing the damn jobs, doing their jobs well. You know, if they're public servants, then serve the public, for goodness sakes. If you're in a big sports match, you know, you don't put brass knuckles in your boxing glove. You know, give the young people some examples. You know, whether you're a sports figure or a political figure, give young people some examples of honor. You know, what about honor? What about, a commitment to principle? The whole American way and all the rest of that? I don't want to sound, like I said, I don't want to sound and pretend that I'm a naive person, but this really pisses me off.
You know, and what's unfortunate, too, anytime you hear one of these scandals is because you and I, we both know people who are, I know somebody who's on a city council. I know people who are in politics and they're in it for the right reason. They think they want to affect change and they're not looking to, you know, benefit from the system somehow. They're really there to, you know, to do people right that they're representing. And so, of course, this tarnishes those people because the automatic assumption is everybody's out for themselves.
Amen to that. And also, they talk about this power struggle between Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio, the mayor. You can say whatever you want about de Blasio. He's a Sandinista. He's a commie. He's a, the big bird. The Botito calls him Big Bird.
Right.
I've never heard anything about Bill de Blasio stealing money. I mean, at least we got that. I got to get out of this segment. We got to get to the next. Harris Faulkner, my colleague at Fox News, and a neighbor to the awful fire in Edgewater is coming up next.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
23 minutes after 11 o'clock, it was a raging inferno that lit up the frigid, windy night sky over my hometown Edgewater, New Jersey last night. Clearly visible it was from Manhattan and beyond, firefighters battling the blaze that ravaged the Avalon apartment complex about a mile down the river road from where I live. all of the tenants safely evacuated, 1,000 of them, though, 1,000 of them, they're saying now, up to 1,000, including the Yankee announcer, John Sterling, currently homeless. She's not homeless, but she was evacuated last night. I'd like to bring on the elegant and lovely Harris Faulkner, the host of the hit show Outnumbered, midday on Fox News, my friend and colleague. Harris, welcome to the show. Where exactly do you live and what happened last night?
First of all, thank you for that sweet introduction. I live, maybe 3.5 blocks from where this happened. I mean, it's at the end of our street. You know, I'm right in the center of town, even with that complex. There are a couple of things between us that are important to note. There's a beautiful Catholic church that's been there for many years, and there's a school. An elementary school, 3 through 3rd grade, or 3rd through 6th grade. So those are important venues to talk about because they were protecting our assets in this town last night. I mean, Geraldo, when I tell you that we have warriors, do you hear me, in the fire department? There's an older gentleman who lives across the street from me, and he's been retired for longer than I probably have been working. He donned his gear like he was going off to work as a 20-year-old. He hopped in the back of a truck, and they fought this thing for 12 and a half hours, and it's still burning. My heart breaks today, but let me tell you, Edgewater will be resilient. You know you've lived there many years. We need some things today, though. Certainly the prayers that I called out for on social media as we were being evacuated, thick smoke last night, and pitch blackness. They didn't want to ignite gas lines, so they turned everything off. Well, now turning them back on is the issue, because how do you know where your hot spots are? They're watching our rooftops. I'm praying for snow, which I haven't done since I was 6 years old, because we need precip. I don't care what form it comes in. We need some help. But those prayers that came online, oh, my gosh, I know they made a difference. We didn't lose a single human life in all of this. However, we lost a number of pets. And some of them were the types of pets that people depend on as guide dogs. So I saw an older woman being carried into one of our schools that's being used as a shelter this morning. Community center also is doubling as that. These are like family members to them. So I pray for them this morning and their loss. We did have some injuries, but we were blessed as a community. But 450-plus families have lost everything. So we need baby diapers. We need the basics. We need toiletries. My husband and I are helping after this afternoon to try to help do that. In fact, he and my older daughter are already there because a number of her classmates lived at that complex. So, Geraldo, you and I mean, our hearts come together over a lot of different causes, but right now you and I are smack in the middle in love and heartbroken over our town.
Absolutely. And the Avalon, that same property, shortly after I moved in there in August of 2000, the previous building burned. Is there any arson suspicion here for Harris?
You know, from everything that I can gather, the town kind of laughs at me because there are, fewer than 12,000 of us, and we all kind of at one point or another bump into each other, so they know I'm doing all the fact gathering that I can. You know, what I'm being told is that there's no evidence of that at this point, but you smartly point out, because we always look for trends. That's what we do as journalists. Well, what's the past? There wasn't just a fire there. It burned to the ground when it tried to open under a different name, Avalon River something, the River Park Muse, I think, in 2000, and several homes around it. The challenge last night is the neighborhoods built up even more. So we lost a lot. We lost a lot. I mean, those homes around it were evacuated very early on.
How were you evacuated? What was the word you got?
Bullhorn in the middle of the street, because the horns were already going off. I mean, it was like Hurricane Sandy. So there was a off-duty police officer, way off-duty, as he called himself, because he was, you know, in his sweats. And he said, look, I'm going to take charge of the top of the street, because I live at the top of Hilliard and Edge
right,
and Undercliff.
Right.
So that doesn't mean anything to your listeners if they don't live there. So think of it this way. It's the street that the former City Hall used to sit on. It's a historic street. So that was the first place where they dispatched people to tell people what was going on, because we kind of meet there. It's in the center of town. And they had blocked all the streets off, so you couldn't get out. So, where do they expect us to go? So we needed that direction on where to go, and he was there with a whistle and a bullhorn. You know, old school. And it works.
So what are you going to do? Harris Faulkner, my guest, my friend and colleague, my dear friend and colleague from Fox News, she goes on on TV in 31 minutes from now.
I do.
What are you going to do? What's the family going to do?
Okay, so...
You want to stay at my place? You can stay at my place.
Oh, God bless you. We had friends who opened their doors to us last night. We've had gracious offers. You know, we work in the best place on the planet. Just so many hearts, loving hearts like yourself, have opened their doors. I'm going to pray that we can get our gas back on in a very safe manner because we need heat. I mean, the lights are on, and that's great, but... That's really where we are now, and I think as the day goes on, we'll get that message and we'll know. In the meantime, my 5-year-old is at work with me. My 8-year-old is with my husband doing the volunteering in our town, and taking clothes, children's clothes, over to the community center and whatnot. And we're helping out the way we can. But I honestly feel so blessed this morning that I had to come. I am that voice that tries to stay calm when things break. I feel like it's my responsibility. So I want to thank you for the blessing of letting me use voice just now to tell people that we're so grateful for the prayers. We couldn't do it without that, and we're going to be okay.
Is there a central number, Harris Faulkner of Fox News, that we can call to find out how to give the aid that the community needs now so badly?
I will get that to you in the next 20 minutes. My husband
Great.
Has it. I need to text him. I've done the list of what we need for our coworkers here at Fox, and I'm about to send out that email now because it is so specific, the little things that you need in this winter climate. We've got a snowstorm.
So all the schools are closed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they're
and George Washington also, the
yes,
the K
absolutely. That's Bella School. That's my daughter's. Yeah, because you need staging areas for things. The Trader Joe's
right.
has been the command center, the parking lot
right.
for all the news conferences. So, you know, we're using every public venue in our town. But what I will do, I will get that information for your listeners right away.
Fabulous.
And thank you. Thank you.
Good
Geraldo.
Luck. Good luck. Love you.
I love you. Bye-bye.
All right. Harris Faulkner of Fox News, a terrific report. Noam, it just so close to home, it gives you the chills.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, I wish I could have been there to help out last night, but I'm still stuck out here on the coast.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77 WABC.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. It is 38 minutes after 11 o'clock. This has been a very, very busy news day. Our buddy Ozzie Paverod, Capital New York, reporting, for example, you know, we had a 24-hour period in New York City in which 5 people were killed, 4 by gunfire, which made everybody say, hey, what is this? What's going on here? Is this related to stop and frisk? Is this related to the blue flu? What is going on? I just want to point out that shootings are up a bit. There's a slight increase in shootings. Ozzie's writing about it. 10 more shootings in New York City this year so far compared to the same period last year. So we're keeping our eye on that. The last thing we want is to see crime tick up. That's been the one, silver lining to the dark cloud of police city hall tensions is that crime has been at record lows. But now you've got this little spike here going on, and we want to know why. And also, another story we have not had any time to deal with today is that in Ferguson, Missouri, where it all started, this tension started. It is now pretty clear that the Federal Justice Department will not, in other words, they will not be bringing any civil rights charges, any federal charges against the white cop who shot Michael Brown. So it is pretty clear that even the feds have now determined that what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, that cop was, what he did was not illegal. He did not commit a crime. So there'll be no federal civil rights charges against the cop in Ferguson, Missouri. And you already know that there was no state indictment of the cop. So, that's where it started, all that rioting and everything else. And now even the feds, run by Eric Holder, are saying that there's nothing there. Out here in L.A., you have a lot of, and I'm going to come, I'll be home by next week. I'm doing this big secret project out here, and I'll let you know all about it. But you have the big controversy over Selma not getting those Oscars and all the rest of it. The other controversy is about American Sniper, the big movie, the big hit movie. It did 10 times the business of Selma. The Clint Eastwood-directed movie, it is acclaimed by many. It is criticized by some who say it glorifies murder and all the rest of that. You have, you know, Michael Moore and what's his name? Seth Rogen complaining that it looks like an American propaganda film. I have not seen it, but from everything I hear about it and my highest regard for Clint Eastwood as the director, I can't wait to see it. I just haven't had a chance to get to the movies. But Naveed Negeban knows all about it. He is in it. You see him on the acclaimed Showtime series Homeland. He is... you know, he plays kind of like the nicest terrorist, Abu Nazir, in Homeland, where I have seen him. I haven't seen the movie yet. But I wonder what he, you know, I'm going to get back to all your other calls and on these other topics, but just give me a minute to talk about American Sniper, which should steal all of the Oscars. Naveed Negeban joins us live. How you doing, man?
Very good. How are you doing? Thank you so much for it. Warm introduction. Thank you.
So what do you how do you deal with that, that rap, you know, that, you know, you play a terrorist, however pleasant and charming you may be? I mean, it must be tough, for you. I mean, or is it, or do people just Google over you as a good looking movie star?
No, actually it's a little bit, I mean, it's tough when you're going through the security at the airport. They look at you and they say, oh my gosh, where have I seen you? What was his picture on the wall, or was it in my book that I should look for?
Do you feel like extraordinary pressure in your life now? I mean, all joking aside, I mean, is that because of the way you look? You're born in Iran. Is that, you know, do you feel unjustly profiled?
Yes, a little bit. I mean, especially when I'm passing through airports or checkpoints, securities. It's less and less, but on the first season, I would get stopped no matter where I was going, especially because I was carrying my beard, and I looked that I would even, the way that I would even scare myself sometimes, but but that was the situation. I mean, the first season
you played
was
the heavy bad. On 24 too, weren't you on 24 also?
Yes, I was on 24, but 24 was a sweet guy who's trying to, who's fighting, or he's trying to create peace between U.S. and this fictional country.
I like you as the peacemaker, but what about American Sniper? What about this controversy? A great movie, Bradley Cooper, you know, everybody loves him in the film, and yet you've got, you know, some of the people out here talking about American Sniper and saying that it glorifies murder and all the rest of that. How do you respond to that, Nippy?
I don't, I saw the film on the weekend. I loved it. First of all, the movie theater was full. I loved it, not just because I'm in it. I loved it because the movie is over 2 hours, and I didn't even realize how the time passed. So, and the story is the story of a man, his struggles, what he went through to be who he wanted to be. It doesn't matter how you look at him. We were just telling the stories for the audience to judge. And right or wrong, the situation that he was in, it was very heavy. I have lots of respect for him and what he has done. I'm not supporting, don't misunderstand me, I'm not supporting war, I'm not supporting killing. It's not about that. It's about the man who's really is struggling to protect the people who he's responsible for. So
you have a situation. Yeah, well, go ahead.
He is right in the middle of a situation, and that's what it is. Now, was the war right? I'm not supporting it, but did he do his job right? Yes, he did a fantastic job, and he saved his friends. I mean, I don't know, what would you do if you're in that situation and you see that somebody, right or wrong, somebody is attacking your brother? Will you sit quiet, or will you pull a gun and shoot the guy?
I would do just what Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, did. You know, it is, I mean, when you look at war is horrifying. And when you actually, the thing about a sniper is when you kill the enemy, it's very personal. You're looking at him through that telescopic lens. You see his face. You know exactly what his situation is. You know, that's a heavy burden to bear. And a lot of these guys, I mean, not as dramatic as the American Sniper, but are a lot of the GIs coming back there. We're losing more to suicides now.
from post-traumatic stress and all the, you know, the agonizing over war than we ever did during the war. It's just these guys.
Of course. I mean, one of the things that I loved was that Bradley very silently captured those emotional struggles. You can see it. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his face. And I was really taken by it. I mean, we had people who were walking out of theaters with teary eyes. I mean, I was there. I was in the middle of town. We were shooting Price for Freedom. And I got a chance to go. I had a day off, and I got a chance to go and see the movie. And
That's your next big one, Price for Freedom?
A Price for Freedom, which is based on Mark Ben-Huri's life story, the dentist, and who was a dentist to the Shah, and what happened to him during the revolution, how he had to leave, and then he had to go back and save his family, bring his family out one by one.
So that premieres at the end of May. I'm almost out of time. How'd you like shooting up in the Hudson Valley? Pretty place, isn't it?
And it was very nice. I mean, I love the environment. I love the people. The people were very welcoming, and I loved it. And it's a story that needs to be told. Mark's story is very important, I think.
All right. Well, we'll look for Price for Freedom. Naveed Negabon, a terrific actor. You were great by all accounts in American Sniper. You were terrific on 24. You're one of the top guys in Hollywood, and good luck at the airport, brother. I know I went through the drug wars, you know, when the Latinos were being profiled with my big mustache. I had a drug dealer all over me, written all over me. So it was I can definitely relate. But thank you a lot for coming on.
Thank
I know how you feel, brother. I appreciate you coming on. 48 minutes after 11, I'll be right back. Your call.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
Okay, 5 minutes to high noon, and it is high noon for Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker, who is now accused of using the power and influence of his official position to obtain for himself millions of dollars of bribes and kickbacks masked as legitimate income. How big a deal is this in Albany? No, tell us what's going on there.
You can imagine how chaotic this is. He has been Assembly Speaker for 2 decades. So when they go to start an assembly session, he just won Assembly Speaker again easily just a couple months back. So they go to start a session, but he's not there. So the Assembly has canceled its afternoon session today amid his arrest this morning.
So the state's business will not be done. Ron Kuby, a very prominent civil rights attorney, my colleague here at 77 WABC. Curtis and Kuby, the Big Hit Show, follows us at high noon. So Ron, is this the beginning of the end of the Albany racketeers?
Well, I think it's sort of the middle of the end at this point. I mean, Shelley Silver is arguably the second most powerful person in the state of New York and New York governance, second only to Governor Cuomo, and some would say they're almost co-equal in terms of their ability to get things done or make sure things don't get done. And he's held this post a lot longer than Cuomo has. The charges appear on their face, and we haven't seen any evidence, and everybody's presumed innocent, yada, yada, yada. But they appear to be devastating. And the Southern District of New York usually doesn't indict unless they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's, especially somebody like this.
Does it, quickly, 30 seconds, does this taint the governor? Do you think it's going to go that far?
Well, we don't know yet. It's the most tantalizing question, because this investigation came in part and parcel with the closing down of the Moreland Commission, which Governor Cuomo did at the insistence of the Republicans and Shelley Silver. So that is a very much stay tuned for further developments.
All right. Well, stay tuned to Curtis and Kuby. They are next. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray for the folks in Edgewater, New Jersey. Contact the Red Cross out there. I remember they need diapers and some practical items like that. My condolences to our neighbors. We'll try to help out. Thank you very much for listening. Love you all. We'll see you right here tomorrow. Bye-bye.